This is a recording of an address given by Mr. Herbert Nunn at Ramsgate on Good Friday, April the 12th, 1963. His subject, the resources of the Lord's people.
Ezekiel chapter 40 and the first verse. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show thee them, unto thee art thou brought hither. Now the 47th chapter. The first verse. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me, and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. A little farther down the chapter, the 12th verse. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. May the Lord bless to us those readings of his word. We had a wonderful subject before us this afternoon, didn't we? To be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose as we've gathered ourselves together here tonight, most of us, if not all of us, are followers of him to a certain extent. I do trust it that if there's anybody here tonight that hasn't followed Jesus, that doesn't really belong to him at this moment, I do trust you'll realise that in the chapter that we read this afternoon, that John the Baptist firstly said to those disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world." See, he attracted them firstly to one that must be their saviour before he stationed himself and said, "Behold the Son of God. Look at him. Look at the Lamb of God there. Be attracted to him." And I'm going to say there'll be no attraction to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ until we've had to go to him as saviour. When I say had to go, until it's been necessary that we've felt that we're such a sinner in our sins and that we are in such a predicament that we're going fast to hell, that we need him as a saviour, and there we see him, the one that will take away our sin. Then we can look upon him in adoration. We can admire that blessed person, and we can continue from that day forward to be followers of him. And it was a wonderful thing to think of the fact that each one of us that are here can, as we leave our meetings tonight, go back to our own gatherings, and in that gathering and in the world, be a follower of him. But have you thought, during the time that has intervened from that reading this afternoon, what failures we are as followers? Now, if you haven't, I have with regard to myself. Perhaps you haven't, but I have with regard to myself. What a failure I am as a follower. And perhaps you've felt it as well. And as we look around in the church today, there is failure, isn't there? We see weakness in the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see weakness in those that gather to the name of the Lord. We see the giving up of the testimony. We see the lack of blessing. And we might feel as Gideon of old and say, "Well, where are his miracles? Where are his miracles? There was a time our fathers told us about when we were a people, a flourishing, a striving people, a wonderful people, but now look at us." And we, in our turn, might as well look back to Pentecostal days and say, "Well, where is the power today?" When we think of those first followers that followed the Lord so closely and walked for him in such a wonderful way, where are those days? Where are those people that follow in that way? I'm going to say just at this moment, the one that we're following, he has not altered in any way. And the resources that we have at our disposal, they haven't altered either. And so I feel that just at this moment that we each and all should be exercised concerning our following the Lord Jesus Christ, and exercise our hearts, our minds, and exercise our assemblies and say, "Well, why is it that there's weakness as we find it today? Why is it that there's the giving up? Why is it that there's the lack of blessing?" Now, I'm not going to say for a moment that the Lord is going to bring back Pentecostal days. He won't. He never fully restores a broken testimony, but he does restore it to an extent. He does give revival to an extent. And I feel that if we were more exercised concerning this, then the Lord would. He would bring that revival among his people, and we would be those that follow the Lord closely, and in following him closely we'd happily gather together as the people of the Lord, and we'd be a pair out in the world as well. And that's why I read these scriptures to you tonight. I read firstly in the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, and I read as well in the 47th, but I can't begin at the 47th chapter. I must begin at the 40th chapter, where we read that Ezekiel was there and the hand of the Lord was upon him. And if you look through that difficult book, well, I saw the faces of our brethren this afternoon when somebody quoted Ezekiel, and it looked as though, well, they didn't know much about this book, and I'm going to say, nor don't I. But This man Ezekiel that writes concerning his prophecies in this book, when we look, when we read concerning the very, very many things that he did, we shall find that often he says, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me." The hand of the Lord. He even starts, I think, in the third verse of the first chapter to say, "The hand of the Lord's on me." That's where we have to start, with the hand of the Lord. That's where we start, because the hand of the Lord is the hand that subdues us. The hand that's upon us so that we have subdued our wills, our minds, to that which he would desire of us. And then after that, if the hand of the Lord is upon us, we're in a position and a condition to be led and guided by him. So often our own wills are apparent, aren't they? And it is not the hand of the Lord that's upon us. But if we're going here tonight to receive anything from the Lord, that hand must be apparent among us first. It must be that as we begin to listen to the word that is going to be spoken, the man that's speaking, you must lose sight of, and you must submit your wills to the one that may speak through him tonight, this power of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we might just as well open that door and everyone go now to our own homes unless we submit our wills to the Lord. The hand of the Lord was upon me. What was that hand for? To lead him and to then show him another man that he would bring into his presence. And this man had a line and a reed. And as this man, bringing the line and the reed in his presence, spoke to him, he says, "Now I want you to fully notice what I show you. I want you to look at what I show you. I want you to consider what I'm going to show you, because I'm going to show you so many things." And as we read through Ezekiel, the man with a measuring line showed him so many things. I want you to look. I want you to consider. And as well, I want you to open your ear and listen. And we might just have got as far as that. It might be that as we've come together the so many times, we've opened our eyes and we've considered what we've heard, and we've opened our ears and we've listened to what has been said. But he says as well, "And I want you to set your heart on what you see and what you hear." That's something different. I'm going to say something that I won't make any apology for, but I think is very true with regard to the ministry of Christ today. I feel that so often as we gather together at meetings like this, it is more spiritual entertainment than it is listening and taking in and setting our hearts on what we hear. So often as we go from our gatherings, I've been guilty of the fact myself, I've gone out from the meeting, I've heard the word, and I've said, "Yes, we've had a very good meeting tonight. It's been spiritual entertainment," and off we've gone, and we've forgotten everything that has been said. We've enjoyed the meeting, yes, we've enjoyed it, and that's just as far as it's got. But that should not be so. And if we are going to read the Word of God tonight and see what our resources are, it must be that it must have an effect on our lives after we leave this gathering tonight. Because he says here, "For to this intent hast thou been brought here." As we've gathered here tonight, we haven't gathered just for our entertainment, just for our enjoyment, because we are the people of the Lord. We've gathered because God's got something to tell us, and we've to listen. And if we don't listen, it's going to be very, very sad in that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it? When we think there of the fact that we might have listened to the word of the Lord, we might have been strengthened because we had before us the resources that were at our disposal, but we just didn't take notice of those resources. And therefore it brings us into a very solemn position tonight to open our eyes and consider, to open our ears, and as well to set to heart the things that we hear tonight. And let's just do that. Now we turn to the 47th chapter, and as we turn to the 47th chapter, there's the man as well who says, I want you to set your heart on what you see. You've been brought here, and now you watch what's going to happen. The man brought him, and there he brought him to the door of the house, the God's house, the door of the sanctuary. The last verse that we read spoke of the fact that that house was the sanctuary of God. And there, coming out on the east side from under the foundation of the house, there were waters. Waters. Now, in the eastern country, the water is very, very important, isn't it? And I feel that they realise the importance of it more than we do here, because of the lack of the water in those places. But where in the eastern country there's a stream, you may bank, as we generally say, upon it, that there's growth. There the stream runs through, and haven't we read that on either side there were those trees that were growing? But where there's no stream, there's desert. And I feel that as before the Lord tonight, those waters that flowed from under the foundation of the sanctuary of God, those waters speak to us of the resources that we can enter into and can make our own if we'll only let them be our own. You see the result, don't you? There will be growth. And on the other hand, if those resources are not taken, there will be dearth in our souls. But where were these waters coming from? As we look at the house that was spoken there as the sanctuary of the Lord, there we see the waters come from the east side of the foundation of the house, and they're flowing out from under that very throne of God. And I'm going to say at the beginning, maybe there's somebody come here this afternoon that needs a word of comfort. That's where your resources come from. Are you downhearted? Do you feel weakness in yourself? Do you feel that you can't carry on as a Christian down here? Do you feel that if this afternoon, as we were speaking concerning being followers, do you feel that you haven't the resources to follow as you'd like to? They're there. They flow from the throne of God. Is there a greater power than is witnessed here as Ezekiel looks at those waters coming out from the east side of the foundation of the house of the Lord? Are there greater powers than that? Can't we think of the time when the Apostle Paul could say concerning that power, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me? Don't we read of the time in the Acts of the Apostles when by that power it said these men are turning the world upside down? But that power, there it was coming, the waters were flowing from under the foundation of the house of the Lord. They were flowing eastward. I think we ought to stop there a moment, because I feel that there are so many people that are converted, that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that have seen him as their Saviour, but they've never really known a new day in their life. These waters flowed out eastward, and if you're going to appreciate those waters at all, it's going to be really a new day to you. Eastward, I mention, because I feel that the east speaks of a new day. And really it is a new day when we begin to know something about the resources for us that come from God. They came out, but coming from the throne of God, how can they come to us? How can it be that from the throne of God we can in any way enter into these resources? We can know that there's power there, but how are they coming to us? They come down on the south side of the altar. See, they come down on the south side of the altar. When we think of the altar, and when God thinks of the altar, not any time can God think of the altar without thinking of his blessed Son, who there died upon the cross of Calvary, who suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And when we think of the waters flowing down on the south side of the altar, that's our side, I feel. the south side of the altar is our side. South speaks of grace, doesn't it? And how we think of the south wind that blows softly, how it speaks of the wondrous love and the wondrous grace of the Lord Jesus. Yes, what does the north side speak of? I don't like to put names and tabs on these various things, but I always think that the north side speaks of exaltation. And I think that there are two scriptures, if you want to know, I can't find them at the moment, but I'd soon find them for you after the meeting. There are scriptures that give us to believe that the north is the side of exaltation. See, on one side of the altar, on the one hand, the waters flow down to us by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can't we see that at the other side of the altar, that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name? God raised out our Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead and set him at his own right hand and gave him glory. But in the doing of that, he, as Elijah, cast his mantle as he went up. He didn't quite do that, did he? But you remember that when Elijah and Elisha were together on that last walk, going out of the land, because Elijah hadn't been accepted by the people in the land, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he walked out of the land because he wasn't accepted. He walked out from Jerusalem, going out to Bethany. He was not accepted. When Elijah went out, going out and going over Jordan, now young Elisha said, I'd like that double portion. I'd like the son's portion. I want power to live down here when you've gone. And how can I have it unless you give me that power? And he says, if thou shalt see me when I am taken up, thou shalt have it, but not otherwise. They go over Jordan, and as they continue to talk, there we see the chariot of God comes down. He's taken by a whirlwind into heaven, and he casts his mantle, and young Elijah goes with the mantle in his hand, taking up that power that's given him, and going forth in the power of that mantle. The Lord Jesus Christ, after going to the cross of Calvary and there dying for our sins, was raised by the glory of the Father and is now exalted at his right hand and has sent down that power. Sent that power down. It comes through the cross. And we must, if we are to receive that power to any extent in our lives, we must see that when Jesus died, that I died with him, and realize that in his death, and in his death alone can that power be manifest in this life. And we must be raised with him in that newness of life, and we can go forward with that power. When we think of that power that's at our disposal tonight, it's a wonderful power, isn't it? And yet, I don't think we've considered it in its entirety. I don't think that we really could. But I want you for a moment to follow this man with the measuring line and see him measure. He measures 1,000 cubits, he measures 2,000 cubits, and he measures 3,000 cubits, and at last at 4,000 cubits, from the water flowing out from the foundation, there's now a great river that cannot be crossed, the waters are so wide. A power, a great power, a river that cannot be crossed. Where had those waters come from? Where had they come from? They'd all come from God. Those waters had come from the throne of God. God was the originator of those waters. Were there any tributaries running in to help and to fill that river, that stream? There were none at all. It was a power that alone came from God. Now there's a point I think that we ought to speak here tonight about. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we have the Spirit of God. Every believer has the Spirit of God. And we know that by that power, we can do things for him in our lives. And there's no greater power. But when we begin to feel our feet as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to feel that we can help the Spirit of God, and we use so many gadgets and so many other things so that in this 20th century, we are quite as up to date with our gadgets as people in the world, and we haven't got the power of the Spirit at all. It's a sad thing, isn't it? And yet it's a true thing. When the Spirit of God began to work firstly in the church, it was the only power that they had. He was the only power that they had. He was the only power that they needed, and they went forth as a testimony to the Lord. They were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of the resources that were at their disposal, they went forth. They went forward. But is there the going forward today? Has it been that with all the, and I'm going to use the word again, all the gadgets that we use to prop up the Spirit of God, has it been that they've made any difference in the blessing? I feel that they've been a hindrance to the blessing of the people of God and to the blessing of the people of the world as well. Let's remember always that the Spirit of God is adequate for all the needs of the believer. He can walk and follow in that power. He can work and he can speak, and he can only work and speak in that power alone. Now, this man with a measuring line had brought him right the way through those 4,000 cubits. I suppose that was just over a mile. You know, it's a very tricky problem to say what the cubit is. If I told you this evening it was 1 foot 6 inches long, somebody would come up after the meeting and tell me, no, it's not, it's 1 foot 9. But if I said it was 1 foot 9, somebody else would come and say, no, it's 1 foot 6. But you see, if it was 1 foot 6, take it a short measure, that's about 2,000 yards, isn't it? And there'd been the length of the river, they'd measured the length for the 4,000 cubits, and now the man with the measuring line, he said, have you seen this? He said, now you come back with me. And straightway we see this man, Ezekiel, going back with the man with the measuring line to the brink of the river. There the river had flowed. It had come from the presence of the Lord. And as it had flowed, and as there was the continual source of supply for the size of the banks, there we see that there had been a growth that had sprung up on either side of the river. There were trees on both sides of the river. See, there had been growth. There'd been growth. What was it through? By the continual flow of the river, there had been the growth encouraged to the banks of the river. Those trees had begun to grow, and there they were now on both sides of the river. And I'm going to say, immediately we begin to draw from our resources, there'll be growth in our lives. You know, it does encourage me. I'm getting old now. And as I look back onto the young men that used to be in my Bible class and Sunday school, I can see some that are really growing. Really growing. And I feel that with regard to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be seen that there's growth in their lives. If they're drawing from the source, continually drawing from the source, from their resources, there'll be the growth in their lives. There must be. And here we see that there were trees on either side. Trees with fruit, trees for meat, trees whose leaves didn't fade. And I'm going to stop there a moment. It wasn't that the waters had encouraged the growth on the one side of the river and there was no growth on the other side of the river. No, there was a balanced growth. A balanced growth. And I'm inclined to think, and I have thought concerning this scripture before, of that word that Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now mark, there's one thing that we're very, very apt to do, and that is firstly to grow in knowledge. And it's a very, very dangerous thing to grow in knowledge. Therefore, Peter begins by saying, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because if we have that balanced growth, and if it's firstly in grace, there'll certainly be a wonderful balance between our grace and our knowledge, won't there? If it but be that the knowledge is set into a corner, that the grace is set into a corner, and the knowledge is the uppermost, we shall find that we are very, very unbalanced. Yes, firstly then we see that there was a balance growth. And then the prophet Ezekiel says, with regard to the growth of these trees, that their leaves didn't wither. You know, I'm a gardener and I don't think that there's anything that really hits me in the eye, terrible expression, is it, isn't it, more than a tree that has withered leaves. Withered leaves. It's sad to see a tree that there should have been fresh, but now the leaves are all withered. No, a beautiful growth. And when I say that word beautiful with regard to believers, I think that it ought to be true of every believer that there's that beautiful growth. Isn't it the psalmist that says concerning himself, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us? Isn't it that there should be that beauty in our lives? Isn't it that we read in Hosea 14, I will be as the dew to Israel, to beautify him, not alone to refresh him, not alone that he might have the power of the Spirit with him, but that he might be beautified. I'll be as the dew unto Israel. That beautiful growth. I know that it's one thing to grow in the things of the Lord, but I think very often, you know, we grow very harshly and very unbeautiful in what we say to other people and in the way that we treat other people that do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it spoken of this afternoon in the reading that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, he showed his grace in his miracles to everyone. It wasn't to those that might be more favourable to him in their lives, but to everyone. And shouldn't it be that the beauty of the Lord our God being upon us, shouldn't it be that that beauty is seen by others? Fruitful growth as well. Coming down this morning in the train, I saw some of your orchards, some of those wonderful Kentish orchards, and I saw a man going round, and he was very late doing it. He'd got a pair of secateurs in his hand and he was clipping here and there. Why? He's expecting something from those trees. There's something that he doesn't want on the trees. There's growth that he doesn't want, but there's one thing that he's looking forward to on those trees later on, and that is fruit. Isn't it that the fruit is the thing that the owner delights in the tree? Isn't it that the tree, as it's planted in that place, it's expected of the owner that it bears fruit? And here was fruitful growth. Trees for meat. Yes, so often as we gather together to read the word of the Lord, so often as we gather together to a meeting such as we are gathered together tonight, we feel that we've come for a portion for ourselves. And off we go, and we go home, and we want to dwell and dwell and dwell upon that which we have received of the Lord. But that's not the full meaning of the ministry of the Word of God for our souls. It must be that as the Word of God is ministered to us, that it's trees for meat. Meat, so that we may have something that we've gained from the Lord, gained by this growth, gained by being in these resources, so that we might have something for other people as well. And the leaves were going to be for medicine. The leaves were going to be for bruises, I see, in the margin of my Bible. And how I feel that as we gather together and as we continue to grow in the word of the Lord, it should be that those things that we receive of the Lord should be for medicine. There's so many broken hearts to be bound up in this day. There's so many people that need a comfort and that they need a cheer. And how are they going to have comfort and cheer unless they receive it from the Word of God through His servant? Yes, the leaves to be for medicine. Now I think it's time that we measured up ourselves concerning this stream, this river. And when we look at this river tonight, I'm going to say that with regard to each one of us, just where are we with regard to this stream? You remember at the beginning of my speaking concerning this river tonight, I mentioned that the man measured 1,000 cubits, 2,000 cubits, 3,000 cubits, 4,000 cubits. He measured those measurements, And I feel that as we come into the presence of the Lord tonight, there's something in the four of those measurements that ought to speak to us. He measures firstly, and it says, and he brought me through. I wonder why it says that. I feel that as this servant was before Ezekiel at this moment, I feel that it was something he wanted to show him. He brought him through the waters, and as he brought him to ankle depth, it was only by his power, by his bringing through to that position, that he was able to be found there. I wonder whether we are ankle deep in our resources. Now, I know that somebody might say to me tonight here, you know, I've been on the road 50 years. But I don't think for a moment that God is so over anxious and so over interested in how long we've been upon the road. But it is, how deep are we in? Now, if there's a young believer here tonight who says, Mr. Nunn, I'm ankle deep in this water, I'll say, praise the Lord for that. You're in the stream. And be led along, because there's one there, certainly as we see here, that there was one who said he brought me through. There's one to bring you through into deeper waters. You're ankle deep in the water. Your feet are in the right place. Your feet are in the resources, and you can go forward in those resources. But if there's an older one here tonight that says, well, I'm ankle deep in those resources, I'm going to say, I just know where you are at this moment with regard to the things of the Lord. Ankle deep in the resources, those resources that there are waters to swim in, and you're ankle deep. What does it mean? It means that there's too much man showing. It means that just your ankles are covered. You're saved, you've got the Spirit of God, but you're not interested in the prayer meeting, you're not interested in the Bible reading, are you? And you're not interested in taking your Bible into your little room and reading. You're just the same as you used to be before you came to the Lord. You're ankle deep in the water, showing too much man. How sad that there's so many believers on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight are that just ankle deep in the water. But there the man with a measuring line is there with his hand outstretched, willing to take you forward and bring you through. Are you willing to go any farther? Or will you say just at this juncture, no, Lord, I'm far enough. I know that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory. I'm safe from that terrible judgment, so it doesn't matter. Won't you go any farther for him? How far he went for us when he went to the cross of Calvary, when the scripture says on two occasions, and Jesus went a little farther, and in going a little farther he went into that garden of Gethsemane. He suffered there, sweating as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. He went a little farther. He bore that cross. He bore the suffering of that cross for you. And you don't want to go any farther? And there's the man with the measuring line, and he's ready and willing to bring you through. Yes, and if only you'll be willing to be brought through, let's measure again. As the man measures again, he measures those 1,000 cubits. And there are waters to the knees. Now the knees and the water are together. He's a man on his knees. He's a man that's beginning to receive power because he's up to his knees in the resources. The knees that speak of dependence and the waters are together. They meet dependence. And the resources meet together. Haven't you seen in the Bible? Haven't you read in the Old Testament and as well in the New of the so many men that have found their power and found their resources because they were men that would go into the presence of the Lord on their knees? Think for a moment of that wonderful man Hezekiah. What were his resources? Was it that great army that he had in the land of Israel? It wasn't. Was it the armor that he would wear? The armor that he boasted about in the last year of his life? No, it wasn't. What was it then? It was the very fact that that man could humble himself, wearing his sackcloth, and go into the presence of the Lord, prostrate himself, and lay all his trouble out before the Lord. A man whose needs and the resources met, and he was a power. He went out of the presence of the Lord with that wonderful power. Are we up to our knees in our resources? If we are up to our knees, don't let's stop there. It's a wonderful starting place to be found there, going through ankles, knees, and yet the man measures again and brings me through. There the man still is willing to bring through. And you might say, yes, I have become one that prays to the Lord. I have become one who feels the necessity of the prayer meeting. I have become one who God is using to an extent, and I think I'll stop here. No, but God is not content with this, and we should not be content. But, you say, how is it possible that I can go any farther forward than I've got to this moment? It is possible, and the Lord wants you and every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ to be a power down here for him. And there he's waiting, and it says concerning him, yes, he's willing to bring through, and he brought me through. Ezekiel was brought through, even to the waters that were to the loins, the seat of strength. A wonderful thing to think that we can have that power. The power that God really meant this man Ezekiel, and as well ourselves to have, meant us to be men of strength. Think of the beginning of our meeting when we spoke of the fact that we are in a position of weakness, and yet God desires that we should be men of strength. How are we going to be perfectly men of strength for him? That's the man waiting again. Waiting and willing to bring us forward again. And as again Ezekiel is led forward into the waters, it says now that he had gone 1,000 more cubits, he was in waters to swim in. Waters that could not be crossed over, but waters to swim in. And I suppose then, I don't suppose the dear brother ever thought of such a thing as that. But I suppose then if Ezekiel had had his bathing costume and gone into that water, there would only have been one thing that would have been showing, and that would have been his head. Himself entirely covered, not now every part of the person showing but the ankles, but his body covered and his head shown. And isn't that the true position of power in this world? Showing the head, giving the Lord Jesus Christ the head the right position, and as the Apostle Paul could say in his day, keeping under our body. Dear friend, perhaps they've been stumbling remarks to bring before you tonight, but it is with regard to your comfort tonight. It is as well with regard to correcting. If we have gone astray with regard to our resources and feel that we can help the Spirit of God in any way, let's remember that the only power we have is there. It comes from the throne of God. And let's remember that we've come into a day when so many people are lazy with regard to the service of the Lord. Let it be a challenge for ourselves tonight. There's the power at our disposal, and by that power we can do the service of the Lord. By that power we can walk for him down here. And we're going to take on the challenge tonight.